The Ministry of Hemp podcast is brought to you by Hatchi, with a full line of CBD topicals that are designed to help you keep doing the things that you love to do. This female athlete-owned company not only promises very high-quality CBD in all their products, but they also work with local nonprofits to constantly evaluate their manufacturing waste stream, their packaging, shipping methods, and their ingredient sources. Go to HATSHE.com, that's Hatchi.com, and use the code HEMP15 for 15% off for all of our Ministry of Hemp listeners in their online shop. Again, that's Hatchi.com, HATSHE.com, and use the code HEMP15. I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by MinistryofHemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Talk a lot about farms on this show, and we're going to talk to another farmer today, but one of the reasons is because that's where hemp comes from, and it's important that we have a good starting place. And of course, at Ministry of Hemp, we encourage everyone to use the best of organic farming practices mixed with modern farming practices when they make sense and they make a better plant and they're better for the soil. Of course, one of the things I've been asking a lot of farmers and people producing hemp products is the idea of a multifaceted hemp plant, one that's not just used for CBD, but one plant that can be used several different ways for the flower, for the herd and fiber, and for the grains even. I get a newsletter in my email from a site called letstalkhemp.com, and it's a great site. You should check them out. In their latest newsletter, there was a link to an article by Stephen Hoffman where he is talking about predictions for hemp and the hemp industry in 2020, and one of them touches on this very subject, and that is using the whole plant. According to this article, the coming decade will see a focus move beyond CBD to the whole hemp plant. This is a quote from Marissa Moraska, a horticulture educator at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas, and she says, "I think a lot of farmers are going to realize the cannabis plant is not a CBD plant. What we're going to see is a movement toward a trifecta or even a quad usage plant. So something that's utilized for the herd, for the fiber, for the flower, and for the grain. And once we realize what those genetics are, we'll end up realizing that each region specifically has growing styles that will be differentiated by the genetics of that region. And we'll move into a place where processing will include not just CBD." Basically, what she's talking about is developing a hemp plant that does all of the above. It's a plant that can be used for CBD, can be used to make hempcrete like we talked about a couple weeks ago on the show. It can be used for hemp seeds for eating and hemp oil for cooking. A multifaceted hemp plant that farmers can sell not just to one supplier, but to four suppliers. It's an amazing idea. And before we get all cringy about the whole idea of genetic modification, this is probably the future of hemp. Already, legal farmers all over the United States are choosing hybrids that work best in their region to grow the type of hemp plant they want, whether it's one that is high in CBD, low in THC, or high in fiber for textiles or hempcrete. Currently, the vast amount of hemp grown legally in this country is grown for CBD, and like we've also discussed, there is a CBD bubble that is going to burst. And when it does, farmers are going to need to look for a hemp plant that they can do more than just produce CBD flower with. That's where this idea comes in, and I think it's one of the most exciting things about hemp and its future on American farms. CBD is great, don't get me wrong, I use it every day. But there is so much more that hemp can do, from textiles, to plastics, to woods, and even concrete. Now just imagine if you could develop one hemp hybrid that can supply all of that in one plant. I don't know that there's another crop out there that would be that versatile, not just for farmers at the marketplace, but also for our environment. There's agriculture scientists that are hard at work right now developing this multi-use hemp plant, and it is coming, and soon. Maybe not this year, but hopefully. And when it does show up, it'll be the farmers that have to grow it. So in the meantime, we're going to keep talking to them on this show. In fact, we're going to talk to one of the busiest farmers I have ever met in my life today. We've been running a series in the show about women in the hemp industry, and I'm talking to a pretty amazing one today. Her name is Franny Tassi, and she represents not only Franny's Farm, but Franny's Pharmacy. She has been a firefighter, a pharmacy rep, a teacher, a world traveler, a hemp farmer, and a friend to some of the cutest goats you will ever see. I spoke with Franny from her farm in Leicester, North Carolina, just outside of Asheville. And if you haven't been to Asheville, it's absolutely gorgeous, and the countryside is unreal. If you're a child of the 90s, you might remember the TV show Dawson's Creek, and it just happened to be filmed in and around Asheville, if you'd like to see what I'm talking about. So I was looking at your website a little bit ago, and you call yourself the hippie in high heels. Explain, lay that out for me real quick before we go into your origin story.
Okay, that is actually, I worked in pharmaceuticals for 12 years. Okay. That's what the doctors called me. That was my nickname throughout the pharmaceutical industry. I was a specialty rep in respiratory sales.
Okay.
And I did training and marketing, you know. That's where a lot of my business experience and all the stuff, we have our own manufacturing for our product line.
Okay.
Where a lot of my experience came from.
And where did the farm come from? That sounds like from a very young age, you were a farm kid.
Yeah, my dad was a farmer, and my parents divorced when I was really young. So I've got my dad, who is a cattle farmer, grew up riding horses. And my mom was super big time corporate businesswoman. Okay. She worked in the financial world.
And you ended up taking a little bit of both of their magic and turning it into what you do now. Yes. Franny's Pharmacy, basically.
Yes. So I'm the middle child. Three girls.
All right.
So I'm the stereotypical middle child. Nobody knew who I was or where I was. So
sure.
I was always doing something mischievous.
Gotcha.
Or adventurous.
So tell me your origin story.
How did
you get into, you grew up on the farm, you went into pharmaceuticals, you went back to the farm, and now you're involved in CBD. And tell me your origin story. How does this happen?
Well, by the time you get to 50, most people have done a lot, okay. But I hear I've had a few lifetimes. So yeah, I mean, I grew up, I always wanted a farm from the time I was little because I grew up on the farm. Loved that. So in college, I have a family full of engineers and Episcopal ministers, and I went to ag school, which was unheard of.
Okay.
And then transferred into forestry, and I have a biology degree. And I mean, I worked in forestry. I lived in the woods. I've been in every national park camp for months. All this stuff. I am just a nature mama. That was my family's nickname for me.
Were you like a forest ranger when you say you worked in forestry?
Yeah.
Really?
I was I was the first female firefighter in Idaho.
Oh, wow.
In 1990.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was just not that long ago. I know. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? And so that's when I lived out west. And then, you know, when you have a $40,000 forestry degree, at some point you're like, oh, I need to do something. So I went back and got a master's in education.
Okay.
No, teaching is not the way to do that, but I loved teaching. I did 6 years in teaching. I have a master's. Smithsonian Institute scholarship for teaching with the brain in mind was what I was working on in my PhD when I got into pharmaceuticals. So now we've got all the things. Our lifetime is always what brings us to this. So in pharmaceuticals, I was called the hippie in high heels, the anti-drug rep. And the more and more I was involved in that industry and being like a really big health freak that I am, it afforded me the opportunity to get out of college debt, buy my farm, and get out of that industry.
That's amazing.
So my story is pharma, P-H-A-R-M-A, to farm, and now to pharmacy. So we had the farm 7 years ago, before hemp was even on the radar.
Okay.
And I was teaching. My hobby's always been farming. So I got city chickens in the ordinance in Asheville because I wanted to raise my own chickens. That was before the farm. And I worked with farmers markets, and all my best friends and hobbies was farming.
Sure.
That's what I did. I
sure.
cooked. I had a garden and city garden and fed 19 people. And finally, I mean, my whole neighborhood, as much as I fed them, they were very thrilled that I finally got my farm. They're like, out of here. And got the farm, and I was teaching business of farming classes. And that is when, for the state of North Carolina, we, us farmers, all collectively gathered together to figure out how we could grow hemp. And North Carolina was the 11th state that came online with an industrial hemp pilot program. It's the only state that was funded by farmers. Our state would not back us with money.
Of course.
The farmers here in this state gathered together to raise $200,000, put together plans and everything.
Something very similar is happening in Nebraska.
We could grow.
So.
And, you know, people dog politics a lot, but this was a really good situation. It was one of those at like 11:58, it passed at night.
Wow.
And we got the call the next day, and we've been working on this for like almost 2 years.
Okay.
So you get to the point where you're like, whoa, we got to grow now? We got 3 weeks. It should be in the ground. Where are we going to get it? It's illegal. So thus begins the whole other story of how I became the first female farmer to plant hemp. Which I didn't even know until after 8 months after I had planted it.
So before we get into that, how did you get to hemp? At what point, like you said, you loved farming and you were very outdoorsy. How did you find hemp? What was your first experience with that?
Well, I've always been a supporter of cannabis in general, and what that plant can do, everything from fiber and food, for a long, 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 long time. And very into plant medicine and herbs. And it just makes sense to me that it just always made sense. And I knew the story. I mean, the emperor wears no clothes, all this stuff like came to me decades ago when I was out west. So it's not like I had this epiphany like a lot of people now that have what I quote hemp fever.
Right.
They're like, I'm going to grow hemp. I've always been a supporter of it. And I'm a huge supporter of agroecology throughout U.S. I love history and science, and it just fits. We need to return. I'm so passionate about what this plant can do for our economy and for farmers across the country.
I mean, how much hemp are you growing on the farm right now?
So right now we're in our third year, and a lot has transitioned. I'm super proud. This was a huge goal, and in growing an agroecology is supporting now 7 other farms that grow for us.
That's
with
awesome.
Our standards.
That is awesome.
And on, which is so amazing. I mean, it's a lot of responsibility.
How does that work though? Did they find you, or did you go find the farms?
They find us.
Okay.
I mean, I had about 800 applicants in a way for people that want to meet the criteria to work and grow.
Right.
And there's a lot of it. Region is one thing. We've put these farms under an NC State research program. So at our own farm right now, because we're already an established farm, we're an agritourism farm, we have gardens and animals and goat yoga. We were on Vice TV and lodging. I've kind of evolved the hemp for us to fit the model of our business plan here. So we grow about 1/4 acre now.
Okay.
We do different varietal trials with Front Range Biosciences and Triangle Hemp. We have a hemp history tour. We do workshops. People can come and learn. And I do a ton of consulting. And this has become the hub for us doing our clone research and a bunch of other things to support these other farms.
This is nowhere near just a farm. You're a full-on like education system, it sounds like.
Listen, if you can dream it, you can achieve it, they say, right? Well, I am such a dreamer.
I can't believe how much time, and like, how do you make this work? Like, you have a farm.
Well,
you're teaching classes. You're doing goat yoga, you know?
we have 3 people that live and work on the farm.
Okay.
And I mean, it's my passion. So I do this 24/7, even in my sleep.
I believe it.
In a lot of ways.
I believe it.
And started with really amazing women, a Women in Hemp nonprofit, which we use, you know, different fundraising and awareness and educational events to raise money to fund female researchers at NC State.
Oh, wow.
That are doing all the data collection and trials and so forth on our farms. So there's a lot of moving parts, but it's so much collaboration.
Yeah. So not only are you trying to do it right and you're going for it the right way, but you're doing it with lady power too. That's awesome. I like that.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
I mean, and that's the reason I was chosen as a featured farmer for Hemp History Week last year in 2018, not because I grow the biggest bud or because any one thing I do great. I just am an advocate for this industry and have helped in collaborations with data and research because I'm kind of a science nerd,
right?
Pharmaceuticals, all that stuff.
Right.
And just connecting and collaborating. That's how we do it with a lot of muscle and brain power.
So tell me about your hemp that you're growing. You said you have standards and whatnot. What are you trying to grow and what are you using it for? What are you doing with the hemp?
So we're vertically integrated because when you're first, there's nobody to call for help. You got to figure it all out.
You gotta do it yourself.
So that's what we did. We have manufacturing and we have distribution. And in our manufacturing, we have 50 different products right now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And growing, we actually, we have a GMP, Good Manufacturing Practices manufacturing plant. And we're actually about to launch a public offering so that people can buy stock in that, and we're going to expand it. We're running 24/7 right now.
Wow.
But how this ties into the hemp growing, so that's a really great opportunity if people are looking into it. There's a lot of opportunities for farmers and for industry and business folks and people that love it but just want to support it from the outside. So with the different breeders we're working with, and we believe in working with breeders, don't get your clones from Mojo next door.
Right.
There's a lot to that.
You know exactly what you're getting, basically. You can say, I want it bred like this, and I want to do this. And you know exactly what you're getting.
Well, we want the consistency for data.
Right.
And how are these going to do in this area? So with Triangle Hemp, we use Bayox. And just theirs, not anybody's, just from their genetics as the baseline for our products.
What is Bayox? I don't know what that means.
Bayox is a hemp variety that's grown for cannabinoid production.
Gotcha.
So that's where the CBD oils come from. We send that through extraction.
Okay.
And then, you know, depending on what product it goes into, there's different ways. Most of our products contain full spectrum. They're used with the distillate. Then we also, in all our dispensaries, which that is another great, we had two corporate stores, but we franchise. So we have other business owners and we'll have 10 stores, six now, 10 by the end of first quarter.
Is that all in North Carolina or is it up and down the coast?
It's North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Connecticut, soon to be Connecticut and Florida.
Wow. So, and someone just comes to you and they say,
so there's franchise opportunities as well.
I want a franchise and you oversee it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We got it all dialed out. Here's the plan. Here we are. And I'm at every grand opening. So I'm excited about getting to travel to some new places and
definitely,
that you know, enjoy the towns and the people.
So, okay, so what do you, you got a thing on your website that says from farm to pharmacy, which I love that. That's fantastic.
Yes.
And I have a feeling you have some marketing background too, because you're really good at this from what I can tell.
Well, thank you.
But explain that to me, how, like your process, how you guys go from the farm to Franny's Pharmacy.
So, like I was saying, vertical integration. So we take all of our hemp that's grown everywhere, biomass goes into super sacks that goes to our processor. Then the other Front Range Biosciences is who we're working with for all our top cut varietal trials, which is smokable flower, the buds.
Right.
And then the trim from that that's used in pre-rolls and all that type of mm-hmm. stuff. We have a lot of genetic trials going on. It all goes through processing, always under the Franny's watch. And then it goes into our manufacturing. So we have different forms of it that are used through manufacturing. We have our topical division of manufacturing. Then we have our edible division of manufacturing. And that's where the expansion is going. Then we have our distribution center. And that's we ship to every state in the country where drop shipping, we white label, private label, about to break into the international markets finally. That's been super long process.
That's impressive.
Yes. And so our distribution center is where everything comes out of when you're doing online orders. These are all my, I love going in distribution. There's boxes and products and phones.
Oh, yeah.
And all the excitement.
Just pure insanity.
That's where everything ships out to all our dispensaries. It is the hub. That's like a big heartbeat there. There's a lot going on. And then we have all our stores So that's how she goes. Vertical integration. So our product is going all the way through that. Now, so me and the NC State researchers are taking it from the farm.
Sure.
Processing.
Do your stores only carry Franny's Pharmacy stuff, or do you carry other brands as well?
We carry other brands that are not competitive with ours.
Okay, so they're doing something.
So if
different.
We have a Franny's Pharmacy tincture, we wouldn't carry something else.
Right.
You know, but sure. If there's definitely some, one of our alchemists also has a vape line, so we use some of their products. We've got a lot of the edibles and foods. When you go in our dispensaries, it's like a hug. It's a cool, it's a market.
Yeah.
So you can get food and you can get other things. So there are some products that are not ours.
Okay. Any textile
but mostly
stuff?
Like, they are our proprietary hemp blends. Yes.
Any textile stuff like clothes or hats or anything or?
We have hemp hats.
Oh, cool.
And right now that's really, really a passion of mine. I'll be in China for a few weeks this summer, visiting Patagonia and Astral Farms. And I just got these really, so I'm a spokesperson or representative for several hemp lines that are really into the fiber. I just got my Astral shoes that are hemp boots to wear in Cuba. I leave for Cuba in a few days.
Oh my God, I am so jealous.
We'll be visiting 17 farms. 10 to 17 farms there we have on the agenda.
Wow.
With the videographer and really understanding more. Agroeconomy is something that's what feeds our world.
Yeah.
Not industrial agriculture. So between Peru and Cuba and all these places, it's still building that. We are all connected. We all are human.
Absolutely.
Food is one of the things that binds us.
Tell me about Peru. You just got back from Peru. What were you doing there?
Oh, I spent 3 weeks in bliss of exploration, adventure, many amazing farmers. So spent some time with farmers that were in the jungle and in the mountains.
Wow.
And then seeing how community, the food brings everybody together, the market and all that in the cities, casting a web.
Sure.
Of interconnecting agroeconomy, culture, food, and farming.
So let me ask you, in a place like Peru, obviously this is pretty new in the States and we're getting it figured out right now. What is hemp farming like in Peru? Is it friendlier? Is it looser? I assume it's something that's been going on for a while.
No.
Really?
Absolutely not.
No kidding.
No. When I went there, there was actually an international hemp symposium that was not actually right in Peru, but outside of that. And it is being grown in certain areas, but it is heavily guarded right now. It is not mainstream
really?
At all. There's a lot of confusion in there about how hemp is different from marijuana.
No kidding. I don't know why that's so shocking, but I mean, yeah.
I know, because everybody thinks there's like Rastas and there's all this stuff,
right.
But it is still very, very, very much like we experience here.
So it's like hemp in North Dakota.
I've been along
basically.
The educational highway. People just don't know or understand and they assume it's marijuana.
Right.
So they've got some things to address before it really becomes mainstream.
Really?
And a huge interest there is on the food side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very interesting.
So what about Cuba? What's Cuba like? Is it any looser there? Or what do you expect when you go to Cuba?
I'm trying to be completely present and completely open
right.
to ask these questions. And they're such good questions. And maybe we'll get to have another discussion after.
But I'm
trying not to predict. I've got the videographer with me and we're doing a docuseries while we're there. So I'm there to learn.
Yeah.
And on our farm, we actually have Sun Days, D-A-Z-Y, on the farm in the spring that launches. And we do Peruvian meals and we have discussion topics about it. And I'll share some of the information.
I've got to get down there. This sounds incredible. I've got to get down there.
You are welcome here.
I would love to. Oh, my God. So So when you go out,
January 26th is when we'll do our one on Peru, and then we'll do one on Cuba.
So when you go out and you meet these people, you just come back with more ideas and better ways to do this, and people that you know in other countries now that you can hook up with and whatnot. It's literally just a learning, or are you also teaching?
Oh, it's both. It's both. Learning and teaching, because that's how it's supposed to be. Win-win. Like in Peru, all the people that I was talking to, I mean, when it comes to farming too, like I know how to butcher any animal on a farm, do charcuterie, from the kill all the way to the table. I even raise it. I've got a wealth of experience. So anything they need help, laying a concrete floor for a new pavilion going up and just talking, just learning. I mean, there's so much to figure out. And our Women in Hemp nonprofit is also going global. And there's a lot of people that, and a lot of what I do is talk about women have been written out of agriculture.
Absolutely.
And so a lot of my personal passion is finding out the stories of what their parents did and what their grandparents did and what was the role. Bringing women back to the face and the light of what they've done throughout history and what they're doing right now, and trying to find ways to support them and their communities.
Right on, sister. I like it. That's awesome.
But I do not go in there. I mean, I did not come out and go, oh, great, I got it all figured out. It is.
Well, none of us do. Right. None of us do. We're all learning. And the more that we learn, the better we get at this. Right.
Yeah. And the more you know, the more you don't know sometimes.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, I've got a million more questions.
Let's go back to Franny's Pharmacy for a minute. What kind of products, what are you most excited about that you guys are doing right now? What's selling the biggest?
So our number one product is the tincture, which people also refer to as the oil or the drops you put under your tongue. Sure. Everybody tries to called a bunch of things. That's still our number one selling product. Our number two is our salve, which is insane. All the success stories, all the testimonials on that. We sell insane amounts of that.
Yeah.
And it's all hand filled. It's a very hard one to do systematically through manufacturing.
I'm sure.
That's part of the reason it's so popular. But people love, like, the bath bombs are really popular, chocolates and gummies and all the smokables.
Yeah. That seems like something that's really taken off this year, a really smokable CBD and smokable hemp.
Yep.
That seems to
and
be
And in North Carolina, we have been in a battle with that.
I'm sure. As,
and we have dispensaries in South Carolina. We've been, I've had to stand up in the dispensary when they were shutting them down and pulling flower out of dispensaries without any legal right.
Of course.
And say, guess what? Come right here. I'm right here. We have flower. And I invite y'all, police, y'all come in. I've invited people to arrest me a ton of times. They don't do it. I can't figure out why. I said, it's probably because it would be way too great of a marketing plan.
Yeah,
you couldn't plan it.
Exactly.
I was like, a letter has nothing to do with it being legal.
Right.
And so that's what was happening in North Carolina and South Carolina. People sending out, the government sending out letters and making raids that were really illegal.
So
I challenged it and we never had a pull, but it's been a real battle here.
Are you still seeing that or is it starting to mellow out a little bit?
It's mellowing out a little bit as people are redirecting their focus. And right now with the holidays and everything, everybody was out of session.
Right.
They're taking a break, but I assume it's going to heat back up here.
I'm sure.
At some point there's some type of conclusion.
Well, we're in election year too, so we got to get out and huff and puff and save the children, right? I mean.
Exactly. Exactly. It's an election year. Oh, gracious.
So completely off topic. Tell me about the goats. I see these pictures of the cutest damn goats I have ever seen, and you're holding them. Tell me about the goats. I love goats.
Okay, they are so adorable and so funny. So Agritourism Farm, we have farm camp here in the summer. Goats are so personable and funny. So we've had goats. And somebody sent me a link 3 years ago from it happening in Oregon. So we're like, all right, well, let's do it. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
So we had baby goats. We did a goat yoga. Then it was Halloween. We did disco yoga and everybody dressed up in disco outfits. And we had strobe lights. And they're little and they're bouncy. And they're just like.
And they love it.
They go through all stages. As babies, they fall asleep really quick and people just pass them around.
Yeah.
And then they go through like the pinball bouncing phase.
Right.
And then they get older and they just want to like run through your legs for a cheese ball when you're in a warrior position. But it's just a really, really joyful, I call it joyful yoga. It's fun. It brings people out. Asheville's a huge hit for weddings as a wedding destination. So we have all these groups that come in and they'll have t-shirts made and all this stuff. And Vice TV was coming to town actually on a very interesting subject of gerrymandering.
Yeah.
And
that's been in the news a little bit in North Carolina, actually.
Yes, there is.
A little
and
bit.
And so they were looking for radical, you know, a smart people, the business people that were also doing crazy things.
Right.
I guess.
And they happened to find you.
And they happened to find me. And I was like, I am exactly it. I was like, I'll talk to you about politics and put a goat on your back and continue to smile. Because it all changes
that
all the time.
That is so cool. Are they working goats? Are they in the fields? Are they eating? And like, you know, like.
They actually are working goats because we manage between goats, sheep, two cows, and a donkey. That's how we manage all our pasture land is by rotating them. So we have seven rotational pastures.
The old school way, man. That's goats how you do it.
Goats are browsers. They're going to eat the brush.
Right.
Sheep and cows are grazers. They're going to eat the grass. So it helps us manage the land and keep it healthy. And they're fertilizing it as they go. We're in a completely so regenerative
cool.
farm.
That is so cool. I've got to get down there and see this. This sounds amazing.
You do. And there's so much hidden that people couldn't even know or understand how everything was planted with intention. We have Blueberry Hill. We've got bees, a pollinator garden, wow. an agroforestry project, mulberries around all our pastures because they create a protein-rich, dense leaf that falls in the leaves. It's a deciduous to give our animals a little protein snack before they go into the winner of
this
no
is
grass.
Amazing. This is absolutely amazing.
And that really, really goes back to what I did in college is what I was developing ecosystem and forest management plans. So I did a logging project on 9 acres of our farm and created different habitats for animals and tulip poplar groves and walnut grove. Yeah.
Franny,
it never stops.
I can't decide if you're a saint or a unicorn, to tell you the truth. You're amazing. This is incredible.
You're amazing. We all are amazing. Everybody is amazing in their own right. It's just what's their hobby? Mine is thinking about a lot of things at one time.
I can tell. Thank you so much for your time. This was fantastic. You're a very busy woman. So
busy doing good things.
That's
having
right.
the time of my life.
That's right. Keep
Thank
it up, sister.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
If you need anything, you let me know.
I absolutely will. Thank you so much, Franny. As you heard, Franny is an amazing woman doing amazing work in the hemp business, and you can find more information about Franny's farm, Franny's pharmacy, and their products, and of course, goat yoga in the show notes for this episode. That about does it for this episode of the Ministry of Hemp podcast. One final thought on female farmers. They are a group that has grown by 27% in the last 5 years. That is a pretty impressive number, and do not forget to support your local female farmers. I hope you dug today's episode, and if you want to let me know what you thought or you have a hemp-related question, you can call me at 402-819-6417. That is the Ministry of Hemp voice line. Leave your message there, and you could have your question answered on a future show. You can also shoot me an email directly to matt@ministryofhemp.com with your questions, your comments, or anything you'd like to hear on this show. You can follow the Ministry of Hemp on Twitter at Ministry of Hemp, on Facebook / Ministry of Hemp, and we love to hear from you. Speaking of ministryofhemp.com, be sure to stop by and sign up for our newsletter so you can get notified about all the cool stories that Kit, our editor-in-chief, posts over there. He's got a great one about the FDA and some statements they made on CBD. There's some really good clarification in there, and I highly recommend checking it out. As always, you can find a complete written transcript of this show in the show notes for this post, because at Ministry of Hemp, we believe a more accessible world is a better world for everybody. Until next time, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will ya? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp Podcast, signing off.